Welcome to the Christ Life Ministries. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Olubi Johnson. For more information about these resources, please visit sbcconline.org. God bless you.
We further pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great and sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their individual lives, agreed individually and said, I have a very important prophetic present truth message to deliver to Scripture Pasture and to the church at large. To Scripture Pasture, because as we speak, we are fulfilling present truth. Like I said during the praying for the fast, it's happening now. We blew a trumpet last week on the Feast of Trumpets. Here we are blowing another trumpet today, and tomorrow, I didn't say this then, is the Day of Atonement. Whenever there was a jubilee, another trumpet was blown on the Day of Atonement. And one of the very significant and important things about the Day of Atonement was that it was a day of fasting. It was a Sabbath. In fact, the Bible tells us, we'll probably look at it later on, in Leviticus chapter 23, I believe it is, in verse 8, it says, you will afflict your souls. It is the fasting of the Day of Atonement that will now precipitate and cause the release of the outpouring of the Spirit of the Feast of Tabernacles. These things are happening in present real time. I didn't plan them. It just so happened that everything is just fitting like a hand fits into a glove. The Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement. I had declared these fasts some 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I knew the Feast of Tabernacles was coming and that this was going to be the time before the feast. I knew that, but I didn't know that connection as shown in the book of Joel. That first of all, you've got the trumpet that declares the coming of these great people. Then secondly, you have another trumpet that declares the fast. And then after that, you have firstly in Zion, the pouring out of the latter and former rain together. And then we're going to see this later on, if Lord allows me. Then it is only then that is afterward that it goes to all flesh. It's a sequence. The trumpet and the fast, then the outpouring in Zion first, and then afterward all flesh. And these things are taking place in real time. Consequently, this present truth prophetic message is crucial for now. And again, this message was given to me about a month ago. I downloaded it and I wrote it down. Then, you know, with time, God will flesh it up for me. He will give me, you know, more and more. And it's entitled Unity, Forgiveness, and Glory. Because without the unity of the Spirit, the type of prayer that we need to precipitate, to bring down this glory, will not be available. So we're going to look at unity. There are three unities in the body of Christ. There's the unity of the faith, which we see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Then there is the unity of the Spirit, which we see in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 3. Then there is the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There is a knowledge, an epignosis, that's the original Greek word, a complete, precise, exact knowledge of God's word that will, if you act upon, will bring you to the experience of the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That knowledge is in the Word of God. It's been there all this time, but it is in the last few years that it has been, the seals that covered it have been removed and has now been made available to us, where we can actually see it in fullness and in clarity. The unity of that knowledge has not yet come. We already have the unity of the faith. If you believe in Jesus Christ, whether you're Catholic, Anglican, Baptist, you know, Methodist, Scripture Pastor, Redeemed, Winners, the denomination doesn't matter. All of us have that. So that's done. Now, the unity of the Spirit is a different thing. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. I mentioned it earlier, but I want us to read it together in this particular context, particularly as it concerns what we're doing and the fasting and the praying and the praying for this outpouring of the former and latter rain together, the Spirit without measure. He says, let's read it together. Say, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What is the unity of the Spirit? Why should we endeavor to keep it? And how do we endeavor to keep it? I'll answer those questions very briefly, very quickly. The unity of the Spirit is a spiritual condition in which all members of the body, of the body who are in unity in the Spirit, the connections, the spiritual connections between them, nothing is blocking it. No sin is blocking it. And that's not always the case. And that's why we have to endeavor and we have to keep it. There is a interconnection between us in the body of Christ. Just like in the physical body, there is a connection between my heart, you know, and this little finger here. What's the connection? From my heart, you have arteries and veins. They go through, you know, the blood vessels. And, you know, when my heart pumps blood, the blood starts from my heart, but it gets to that little finger, you know, through the capillaries, you know, and all the blood vessels, and it feeds it with oxygen, and then it circulates back, you know. So you got the circulatory system of the physical body. Spiritually, it's the same thing. You know, there is a connection between, obviously, between my wife and I, because in the spirit, for husband and wife, this is a very special case. They are actually one spirit, because God, when you get born again, you get joined to Jesus as an individual. When you marry, and that's why people don't understand about divorce. You just don't go about, it's not just a physical thing. When you marry, both of you are joined to Jesus, and then your two spirits too are joined together. That's why what happens to a man will affect his wife, and what happens to the wife will affect the man. If there is darkness in the heart of the wife or in the heart of the husband by spiritual osmosis, that thing will start drifting to the wife or to the husband, except if one of them is proactive spiritually, understands what is happening, and then goes to God, gets the blood of Jesus, cleanses it out, and puts life. If he puts light, the light will always overcome the darkness. That is why the Bible says that a woman can win her husband without talking. You are connected. If you do what you should do spiritually, what is inside you will overcome the darkness inside him, and vice versa. You know, but that's a special case. You know, but generally, all of us are interconnected. So we're all connected. And this truth you find in Colossians, it's actually all over the place. Let's stay in Ephesians for a while, you know, for a minute. And we'll jump to Colossians in a minute. Look at verse 16. We're talking about unity of the Spirit. From whom the whole body, I didn't hear you, fitly joined together, I didn't hear you, compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Notice he says here that all the bodily is joined together. We're all joined. There's an interconnection between all of us. I preached this about a year or two ago, you know, when I talked about joints, parts, and I can't remember the last thing I called it, but I talked about, you know, bands, joints, and parts. Thank you, honey. You know, bands, joints, and parts. We're all connected. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and I believe it's in verse 19. Colossians 2, 19. And not holding the head, from which, see, all of us are connected to Jesus, but we are also connected to one another. You see, we live as if, okay, I have Jesus and I don't need you. You need me. I need you. And we're going to see the reason in a minute. Not holding the head, from which all the body, by what? Joints and bands, having what? Nourishment ministered. So, not only, listen to this, do I get nourishment from God directly, I also get nourishment from my brethren. Now, when there is a block through strife, offense, envy, any kind of negative thing between me and a particular brother or sister, the nourishment that should come from me to that person or from that person to me is blocked. So I am the worse for it. Unity of the Spirit is when all those interconnections, there is no blockage. That is why we have to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Make sure that the connection between you and a brother or a sister, there is a free flow of nourishment, or we use the word life, which is really what it is. You know, so that life can go from you to that person and from that person to you. Now, this is where the forgiveness comes in. That's why I've entitled the unity, forgiveness, and glory. We're going to get to glory in a minute. But let's look at this unity of the Spirit. How do you maintain Now we know what it is. How do you, he said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? By forgiveness. That's how you keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. No wonder the scripture gives us two vital instructions. It says that whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. It has given us the power, the authority and the ability and the power to always make sure that there is no block between you and any person. He said, no matter what they do to you, no matter what they do to you, you should forgive them. How do you forgive? Two things. You remit their sin by asking God to cleanse them by the blood of Jesus. And then secondly, you ask life. You ask God to give life to them. If you maintain that, you are maintaining the unity of the Spirit. And that's why you have to endeavor to do it. You have to make an effort to do it. Because in your daily interactions with people, husband and wife, mother and father, children and parents, you know, the boss in the office and his employees, you know, pastor and his flock. In our normal human relationships, things happen. Offense comes. People do things they shouldn't do. They say things they shouldn't do. They hurt you emotionally. They hurt you. Are you going to let that thing remain or are you going to remove it? That's why you have to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I know we know these scriptures, but I want to, because I want to nail it down, not only for the benefit of us in Scripture Pastor here, but for all the church universal who will listen to this message, because this message has universal application to the church now. It's a present truth, because without this, we're not going to see any glory. Unity, forgiveness, and then glory. Not only that, I'm getting ahead of myself, even after the glory comes, to maintain it, you still have to maintain this. Let me just, I don't want to divert. If you look at the Acts of the Apostles, you will see what I'm saying about, you will see what I'm talking about. Acts chapter 1, let's start from chapter 2. The Holy Ghost comes down on the day of Pentecost. The fire comes. You know, Peter goes out and 3,000 people get born again. A few days later, they heal the man at the gate of Beautiful who was lame from his mother's womb. 5,000 people get saved. The church begins to multiply and begins to grow. Peter's shadow, you know, and John and the 12, it says great signs and wonders were done with them. It begins to heal people on the streets of Jerusalem. But after a while, it stops. You don't see that anymore. Then the Bible says, as the numbers of the brethren increased, and they began to give food and everything to the widows and everything, he said, there arose a contention between the Greeks and the Jews, and they were not giving them food. So that's why they now had to get the deacons and said, look, we can start organizing table and food and everything. Appoint 7 men. That's how we get Stephen and Philip and the other 5, you know. And then they ordained something. But by that time, the glory that we saw in Acts chapter 3 was no longer there. There were still miracles, but it was not like at the beginning. The first few weeks or months of that thing, it gradually went down. Every revival that has graced the face of the earth has had the same story. Whether you go to the Wesley revival in England in the 1700s or the Finney revivals in America in the 1800s, you know, you find the same story. Or the Pentecostal revival in Azusa Street, you know, it lasted for about 9 years, you know, there was great glory, and then after a while, it just went down. And the Lord told me, he said, you have to teach your generation, because those other generations didn't have the quality of the knowledge of the word of God we have in our generation. Not because we're better than them, but because that the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. So he said to me, you need to teach this generation what happened in those other generations so they don't make the same mistake. You need to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Our natural tendencies is this. Once the glory comes and we see miracles, we all go back, we rest on our oars. Pride comes in, you know, and we begin to think, you know, of course we got it, so what else do we need, you know? And we all our good habits that we maintain to get it, we start letting them slip. And that's why he gave me the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, as great as he was, with the great miracles that he had in his life and in his ministry, Jesus never played with prayer. He understood that, yes, the glory came on at the feast, wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. And then after that, he began to do miracles and you know, he would move around and like we were teaching last week about the superconductor and great multitude would be healed. But every time, he would go back and pray. He knew that to maintain it, if he stopped praying and relaxed, that thing would start going down. And that is why we must learn this truth of maintaining the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Now, go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and quickly look at verse 23. I want you to see with your own eyes and say with your mouth, whosoever... Turn to your neighbor and said, that's you and me. I'm a whosoever. You're a whosoever. So, you see, this is not just for Catholic reverend fathers that you can go and make confession to. Anybody. It's a whosoever. You know, it's not just for one particular, you know, only a pastor can forgive or only a reverend father can forgive. No, they can do it. But any other Christian too can do it. Whosoever, since you remit... they are remitted unto them. And watch this. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. So it's our responsibility not to make sure sins are not retained. Then look at 1 John chapter 5. I remember this scripture. I came across it many, many years ago. And I've always used it and preached it and all of that. And I am amazed, honey, at the fact that there is so much ignorance about this scripture. I don't think I've ever heard, maybe apart from Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland and some of the people who learned under E.W. Kenyon, you know, and maybe they too just mentioned it once or twice. I hardly ever hear Christians talk about this when it comes to sin and helping people. Look at what it says. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. If any man, again, you know, corroborates what I said from John chapter 20. It's for anybody. It's not just the pastor or the reverend father, you know. All that came with religion tradition. You know, go, if you have a sin, go and confess it to the reverend father or go and confess it to the pastor. No, any man. Any man. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death. Now, the sin unto death is the one where he becomes an apostate and he leaves Jesus. He's a mature Christian and he says he's not a Christian anymore. That one is unto death. You can't do anything about it. But that's very rare. Very few people do that. You say, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. So, it is, how do I maintain the unity of the Spirit? Two things. I first of all have to remit the sin, because if I don't remit the sin, even if I ask life, the life will be blocked. So to maintain the unity of the Spirit, I have to forgive, ask for the remission of their sin, and ask life for them. And somebody now says, how many times... do I have to do that? Let me give it to you the way Jesus said it. 70 times, 7 times every day. I didn't hear an amen. Do you see what it means when it says endeavoring? Do you see that it requires effort? You can't say, I'm tired. Hey! I'm only human. No, you're not. You're divine. You just don't know who you are. Thank you for that one clap offering from Mommy. Then supported by Pastor Larry and a few others. Hello? It's the truth. You're not human. You're divine. I didn't hear amen. The truth is gradually. Let me ask a question, a rhetorical question. How do you think God forgives us? How many times do you sin against God every day? And every time you go to Him, does He forgive you? Why doesn't God say, I'm tired? So you should ask, why should you say, I'm tired? Because you are like God. You're made in the image of God. You are a child of God. You're a son of God. Are you listening to me? And that's why, and God has made it easy for us to do. That's why I've taught you what I've taught us in recent times. You know, using the mercy of God. See, I've discovered that in practice now. So immediately somebody does something to me, or I'm hurt as that, the first thing I ask for now. I didn't used to. Before I'll be angry and I'll be irritated and it may take me like 1 hour or something. But I don't do that anymore by the grace and the mercy of God. Immediately, I just say, Lord, have mercy on them. I ask for the blood of Jesus to cleanse them. You know, I ask for life for them. You know, I do it instantly. It hasn't got anything to do whether they deserve it or not. It has nothing to do with whether, you know, I like them or I don't like them. It has nothing to do with how I feel, whether I feel like it or I don't do it. I do it because God said to do it. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. I'm not going to let anything block the unity of the Spirit. I see the big picture. I don't see the person. I see beyond the person. I wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So the first thing I do is I forgive them. Now, it doesn't mean I forget. After I taught this recently when I was teaching about faith and all of that. You know, when you forgive, it doesn't mean you forget. You know, you may remember, but you remember without bitterness. And you have goodwill. Everyone say goodwill. You want God to help the person and, you know, and then you deal with them with wisdom. The fact that, you know, the fact that you deal with them with wisdom doesn't mean you haven't forgiven them. You've given them life and all of that. But you may not necessarily, you know, have deep fellowship with them. You know, Jesus said the same thing. He said that if somebody sins against you, he said, go to him alone. Say if he hears, you have won him. Say if he doesn't hear, say take two or three other people. He said, if he doesn't listen, he said, then take it to the church. The church doesn't mean everybody, it just means the leadership. You know? Then take it to the church. He said, if he doesn't hear, watch this. He said, let him be unto you like a heathen man or a publican. He doesn't say you don't love him. He doesn't say you shouldn't forgive him. He's saying, don't have intimate, don't have any kind of close fellowship with him. Pray for him, bless him, you know, but you don't necessarily have to bring him into your inner circle. And you see that Jesus operating that. You see, Jesus had it. He had the one. He had John. He had Peter, James, and John. You see, there's some places he would take Peter, James, and John. He wouldn't take the others. Then he had the 12. Then he had the 70. And then he had the multitude. That's wisdom. Doesn't mean he didn't love them. He loved all of them. But the level of intimacy and fellowship he had was not the same with different people. So that's how it is. So, but the important thing here is you must forgive. You must remit that sin. And you must ask life for them. So, and you say with your mouth, I forgive, you know, whoever. You know, Father, I ask the blood of Jesus to remit their sin. Say it! I ask life for them. Even that is difficult for some people. You know, when you have bitterness in your heart, it's difficult to ask life for somebody. But you should. That's how you endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, what? In the bond of peace. So, in the Spirit, there's peace between you and that person. You may not have intimacy and fellowship, like I explained, you know, with the person. You don't necessarily have to go to their house or come to your house. All that may not be necessary. And that's why God has given us different levels of relationships with different people. Now, so And this forgiveness, look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. I like the way he said it there. And it dovetails what I taught during the Bible study. You know, where when I said from the heart. He said, you know, you have obeyed from the heart. He says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. He said, you know, if you don't forgive people, God will not forgive you. And he will deliver you to the tormentors, which is the devil and his people. If ye from what? Your heart, not your head, though. Your heart. Forgive not everyone his brother their what? Trespasses. So no matter what, you have to forgive from the heart. And that's how you do it from the heart. It's only from the heart you can cleanse by the blood and you can ask for life. It cannot be done from the head. It can only be done from the heart. Now, let's go to glory. We've seen unity. We've seen forgiveness, and forgiveness is the tool or the means by which we maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, like I have explained. Now, how does this now translate to glory? Let's look at a few scriptures. Let's look at this same Matthew chapter 18. Let's move up and look at verses 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 18. Verses 19 and 20 is a scripture we use all the time, but in practice, we don't actually practice it as the scriptures actually reveal to be practiced. And I'll explain. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth, as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For, now this is the reason why it works. For, where two or three are gathered together, what? In my name, there am I in the midst of them. And we, on the surface, we just think that just means, oh, okay, we are both Christians and we say in Jesus' name. That's there. That's important. It's foundational. But it goes far beyond that. He's saying where they are gathered together in my character. What is the name of God? What's the character of God? Loving kindness, righteousness, and justice. Let me paraphrase it in another way. You know, where two or three are gathered in my character, in the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. So it's not just to say in Jesus' name, which is important to say, but you have to go beyond just saying in Jesus' name, and where the two or three of them are gathered, there is unity of the Spirit amongst the two or the three of them. Then life can flow from one to the other, so that when they now pray, the prayer will have great spiritual power and effect. When they are gathered together, and even when they say in Jesus' name, but there is a block in the hearts between them, it's not going to work. So it's more than just, you know, two or three gathered together in my name, you know, and then I'm there. He's there, but he's not. The block in the hearts, if there is unforgiveness, if there is not, let's just say it simply, if the unity of the Spirit is not there, it's not going to be very effective. Or let's even put a spin on that. You know, if the degree of the unity of the Spirit will now determine the degree of the efficacy of that united prayer. That is the reality. I'm teaching you reality. The Holy Spirit has come to reveal to us, guide us into all truth. I'm giving you the reality, not the religion. The reality. And that's why you have thousands of Christians joined together, pray, little effect. Two or three, I got them in my name, little effect. You know why? They have not maintained. The same people will be gathered together, and in the hearts there will be unforgiveness, there will be envy, there will be this, and they have not remitted the sin, they have not asked life for each other, and then they now start to pray. It's not going to be very effective. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. Now, so, how does this thing translate to the glory of God? I had something, the Holy Spirit gave it to me, so I wrote it down. The release of the power of the Spirit without measure is generated by united prayer in the Spirit amongst a group of Christians who are maintaining the unity of the Spirit amongst themselves in the bond of peace. Unity and forgiveness creates the spiritual condition for effective united prayer in the Spirit that generates the power of the Spirit without measure by an exponential increase of God's power. Let me explain from Scripture. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. It's Scripture we all know very well. One will put 1,000 to flight. But let me break it down. Deuteronomy chapter 30. I believe it is. Is it 32? Excuse me. I think it's 32. It's 32. It's 32:30. Yes. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? He was saying that the enemy will do that to them. It's a reverse engineering thing, you know, if they forsake God. But that principle is also true when they're on the doing the right thing. And that is corroborated by two other scriptures. Look at Leviticus. Look at Leviticus. First of all, no, Joshua chapter 23. Joshua, that's why you need to read the whole Bible. It's not enough just to read one or two verses, which are your favorite verses, and just quote them when you want to. You have to understand the principle behind that verse by knowing the other verses, the whole counsel of God, so that you know how the thing actually works. Joshua chapter 23, and look at verse 10. That's where you see this. One man of you shall chase 1,000. So here it's established. One can chase 1,000 and two will chase 10,000. It means for every one you add, you're getting a factor of 10. It's not addition. If it was addition, if you have 1,000, 1,000, you get 2,000. But because it is an exponential multiplication, it's not even an ordinary, it's exponential. It means it is in powers of 10. So when you have one, we'll put 1,000. Two, we'll put 10,000. Three, you just multiply it again by 10, you know, and then you get to 100,000, you know, then you move to 1,000,000 and so on. By the time you have 10, 20 of them, you're looking at power that you cannot even describe. That's why we call it spirit without measure. The reason why we have not seen it in manifestation is because amongst the Christians that are praying, we do not see they do not keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So this exponential factor, exponential increased truth is severely impaired. It's still some, but it's not as effective as it should be. Not only that, look at Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 8. And then you see a different thing here. He says, five of you shall chase 100. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Here you don't see one that's chasing 10,000. Showing different spiritual capacity. So in a church, you can have some people who is only five of them that can chase 100. But if you put 100 of them together, you get the 10,000. If you now take those 100 that can put 10,000 together, and then you now join them with one person who can put 1,000 together, by the time you put the two of them together, you'll be getting 100,000. That is why spiritual capacity and leadership become critical. Because a leader who captains over 1,000 may have the capacity of chasing 1,000. The younger people may not have capacity of, but they can chase, five of them can chase 100. And 100 of them can chase 10,000. So if you have a lot of that, and then you mix it with a lot of leaders who also have the capacity of 10,000, of 1,000, of 1,000, of 1,000, of 1,000, and then you look at the exponential, you're going to get the Spirit without measure. And that is what we determined to do this week. Let me give you another scripture that is, again, one of the scriptures that are not very familiar. The body of Christ, people shy. You know, there's some scriptures, we see them, but let's leave that scripture alone. Because people don't understand them. You know, like that one in 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. I hardly ever hear anybody talk about it. And it's so critical to maintaining the unity of the Spirit. If any man see his brother sin, he didn't even say if the brother sinned against you. For example, you just see somebody do something wrong. They didn't do it to you. You know what you're supposed to do? Remit their sin. Ask life for them. You know what you're doing? You are edifying the body in love. Imagine if all of us were doing that. The body would be so strong. Having nourishment ministered. With the increase, you know, that every joint supplieth. But many people don't do these things. And the other scripture is in 1 John chapter 5, 18. You know, people don't like that kind of scripture. You know, whosoever is born of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. Because we always see the devil touching so many Christians. So people just, that's one of those kind of scriptures people don't like. You find they don't talk about it. But whether we like it or not, we have to talk about it. Because it's in the Word of God. And it means that there must be a way of doing it. So we must not shy away. We must not handle the Word of God deceitfully. We must renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness. Nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. Don't let, you know, when we don't understand something, we just, you know, sidetrack it and behave as if it's not in the Bible. It's there. Look at First Corinthians chapter 5 verse 4. I want to show you something here. He says, First Corinthians, not Second Corinthians. First Corinthians, excuse me. My finger, this computer thing, sometimes it goes to where you didn't send it to go. In my name, or rather, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, watch this. We're talking about united prayer in the Spirit. When you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. This he used the power here to deliver someone to Satan. But the principle is what we want to get out here. Look at what is happening. Paul was not even there physically. This is the power of united prayer in the Spirit. See, united prayer in the Spirit doesn't just necessarily mean we all have to be in the same place. That helps and is necessary. Bible says we should not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. So that helps and necessary. And you know why it's necessary? When we gather together physically, it gives you accountability. It's one of the reasons why Good Morning Jesus, let's give a lot of clap offering for that, is so critical in what I'm talking and teaching now and why it helps. But you know, all of us before, you know, we say get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I, by the grace of the mercy of God, have been practicing that for many years. But many of us were not practicing it. We'll do it today, we'll not do it again for 2 weeks, but nobody knows. So if I come to church and I say, oh, get up in the morning, I say, well, I do sometimes. But because of Good Morning Jesus, and you have to be there, and if you are not there, pastor will ask, mommy will ask, and say, that coming together gives you an accountability. On Tuesdays in this church, we fast and pray on Tuesdays. Why? If you're not in church, I will ask. I say, I've not seen you. So the coming together is very important. For accountability. However, in the spirit, whether you are physically there or not, if the spiritual principles are there, look at what Paul said. He said, when you are gathered together, and then my spirit, but he was not there. What happened? The power of God, listen to this, that they generated as a church, that Corinthian church, God now took that power, and then he now took the power that is inside Paul's spirit, and then he put them together. One will put 1,000 to flight, then two will put 10,000 to flight. So what God did was he took the power that's coming out of Paul's spirit and took the power that was coming out of the collective Corinthian church spirit and then mixed them together exponentially. It was that power that they used to deliver this guy to the devil. What does that teach us? It teaches us a very important principle, that when we are gathered together and when we are praying in the Spirit with our leaders, the leaders and the people, God will take the power that we are generating collectively, and then He will, depending on our different levels of spirituality, the spiritual capacities, 5 will put 100 to flight, 5 will put 100 to flight, then 100 will put 10,000 to flight. He knows how. I don't know the spiritual capacity of each person, but the Holy Ghost does. So He will do that, then He will come and take the leader's spirit and then put it in conjunction with the spirits of all the other people, and that is how we get this exponential increase. That's how the Spirit without measure is generated. And that is why we have to pray. As we're going to this fast now, we have to pray with the unity of the Spirit. If there's anybody that has offended you, remit their sin immediately. I didn't hear amen. And ask life for them immediately. And if they do it 10 times a day, you do it 10 times a day. If they do it 20 times a day, you do it 20 times a day. If they do it 70 times a day, you do it 70 times a day. If they do it, if they do it 70 times, 7 times a day, you do it 70 times, 7 times a day. Somebody say, hey, that's a lot of wahala. It's called endeavoring. That's the meaning of the word endeavoring. To keep the bond of the Spirit in the bond of the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And you see this in Acts chapter 1. God told them, Jesus told them, He said, stay in Jerusalem. And He said there were like about 120 of them. Incidentally, that's the critical mass that can bring the glory. Just 120. 120 brought the glory. Watch this. I prove it from Scripture. In the upper room. How many priests were there in Solomon's temple that brought the glory? 120. 120. That was the shadow. In the New Testament, that's the substance. Now, that's a minimum. We're not staying at 120. We already have more than 120 of us. There is no reason why we should not bring the glory down. No! No reason! We need to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And the Bible says, and they were all gathered together. Look at Acts chapter 1 verse 14. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. This thing is firing me up. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. It was that consistent praying together. And observe, the Holy Spirit just pointed out to me today when I was preparing for this message. In the morning, in the early morning or the hours when I was praying. You know what He told me? He said, and they were not even praying in the Spirit. They were not baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. They were praying in the understanding. Yet, because they were joined together, and there was a good... Watch this. Jesus on Easter Sunday, this is after 40 days. This is on the 50th, between 40 and 50 days after the ascension. On Easter Sunday, Jesus had already given them the principle. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. So they already had the power to do it. They were born again. They didn't get born again on the day of Pentecost. They got born again, the apostles now, and the people they spoke to. They got born again on Easter Sunday. But they were not yet baptized with the Holy Spirit. So then I said, go and stay in Jerusalem. Don't just stay there, and pray together. And they did. I look at another translation. I want to read this from the Amplified Bible. You know what it says? It says, all these with their minds in full agreement. Everybody, read this with me. Say, all these. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's you and I. And we are over 120. There are people who come to pray on Tuesdays, if we also add those who are online, we're far more than 120. So we already have, watch this, the critical mass. The thing we do not have yet is the threshold voltage. What's the threshold voltage? You know these filaments, fluorescent lights. If the voltage is 240 that causes to come on, if you go to 100, it won't go on. You will be seeing a little bit of red on the side, but it won't come on. But if it gets to about 180, 190, 200, that's what we call the threshold voltage in physics. Once it hits threshold, the light will just come on. The same thing with the glory. We already have the critical mass, and the voltage is rising. As we go into this fast, and we pray in unity of the Spirit, we will push that threshold voltage up, and the light will appear. Is this clear? Hallelujah. All these, with their minds, in some agreement, devoted themselves once in a while to prayer, waiting together with the women and Mary, Holy Mary, and Mother of God, and his brothers. You know, his brothers didn't like him before. James and Jude and all of that, they didn't believe in him. John chapter 7, they said, go and show yourself to God. But after the resurrection, Mommy was staying with John. She said, everybody, come. It's real, man. Your brother has risen from the dead. And they all believed. So every day was one mind. It was that united prayer. That one accord, full agreement, that precipitated the outpouring that we see in Acts chapter 2. So for us now, I'm closing now. That's what we need to do. This fast that we are going into now is a prophetic, present truth, critical one. We are going to pray for the outpouring of the latter and the former rain together. And honey, look at this. I didn't plan it. I just looked at it. I said, wow. It's like a glove hand fitting into a glove. We have 5 Tuesdays this September. We've already done all the prayer. So they pray on Tuesday. We're going to pray for Nigeria like we normally pray. Then the second phase of prayer is for the outpouring. Glory be to God. That's the purpose of the fast. You see, in the day of tomorrow, today is the 27th. Tomorrow is the 28th. Tomorrow is the day of atonement. And the Bible says we should afflict our souls. Look at Leviticus quickly. Leviticus chapter 3. Hello? Leviticus chapter 23. Excuse me. I said chapter 3. Leviticus chapter 23. I have it written here somewhere. I believe it's verse 27. Yes. Also, on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be what? A day of atonement. That's tomorrow. And it shall be a holy convocation. And you shall what? Afflict your soul. It's talking about fasting. And that's what, it's as if, you know, God is just his present truth. We're actually fulfilling the scripture to the T, to the glory of God. So we're all going to come here with fasting and praying tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to pray for America. Hallelujah. That's another message for another day. I'm not going to go there. You know, this new Supreme Court nominee that's put there, she will enter. And she will stay and she will do the job. A Deborah anointing. Mommy will tell you more about that later on. Maybe like on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever we have time. You know, the Deborah, she's going to, and the election will be peaceful. It will not be divisive, it will be decisive. We will pray. See, I really don't care who becomes. What I care about is the will of God. I'm non-partisan. I'm not Republican, I'm not Democrat, I'm not PDP, I'm not APC, I'm not poo-poo-poo or whatever. You know, all I just do is pray. I'm Jesus' party. Pray in the Spirit. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No permanent friends, no permanent interests, no permanent enemies. Only permanent interest, the interest of the kingdom. Are you listening to me? And so, in closing, this is what we are going to do. This is the essence of this fast. Like I shared when I was talking about the fast, last week was trumpets. So we blew the trumpet in Zion saying, a great day is coming. It's going to be a great and terrible day. Great for the disciples. Terrible for the lukewarm Christian. It's going to be a great and terrible. He said, a great people are going to come. He said, there will never have been anything like them or before them. That's Joel chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Joel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Then the next one is this one we're doing now. There is a day of atonement. You know, there's another. Blow a trumpet in Zion. We're doing that now. I've just done that. I did it earlier on. I'm doing it again now. You know, and sanctify a fast. We're doing that. So with that fasting and prayer, we are now going to united prayer in the spirit, generate the power. The fountains of the deep were broken up. And then the windows of heaven will open. I'm expecting God to pour out his spirit like he did on the day of Pentecost and even greater. That will kick in the Feast of Tabernacles. Are you listening to me? That one was done to start the church. This one is going to be done to perfect the church and close the age. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And then after he has poured out his spirit in Zion first. The Zion church gets it first. The latter and the former reign together. That's in Joel chapter 2 in verse 23. Then he says, afterward. He will now pour it out upon all flesh. It will now move out from Zion and move out to the rest of the church and to the rest of the world. God is on the move. Something great is about to break. You are greatly privileged. So take this thing very, very, very importantly. Unity of the Spirit. Maintain it in the bond of peace. And trust me, this afternoon somebody is going to annoy you. My wife and I have seen that thing happen so many times. Well, just before a fast or during the fast, somebody would do something or say something, and remit their sin, ask life for them, and then keep them at a distance. It's true. The important thing is to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Are you listening to me? It's going to happen. There will be so many opportunities to get offended. Husband and wife. Father and children. Sisters and brothers. Pastor and flock. Boss and employee. It's going to happen. You can be sure. Because Satan understands this principle better than Christians. He doesn't care how much you speak in tongues, so long as you don't have to walk in love. Speak in tongues, speak in tongues, speak in tongues. But there is a block in the spirit. All your tongues is just noise. Just tinkling cymbal. Hello? So why fight the tongues when he can send you an offender? He can't fight the tongues. So he now finds an offender to come and offend you. And most of the time, we yield to it. And then we now go and pray in tongues without remitting the sin and asking for life. Then the thing doesn't work. Or it's not as effective as it should be. Are you listening to me? So let our eyes be open. Like we say in Nigeria, let's shine your eye. You know, spiritually speaking. So you understand what is going on. You don't fall into any trap. Once you see anything happen now, remit their sin, ask life for them. Maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace and continue to pray in the Spirit. Everybody must be here tomorrow, fasting and prayer. Whether you are looking after a baby or not, if you are at home and you can't come, you still fast and pray at home. The bride come out of her closet. The bridegroom come out of every... I need every hand on deck. We want to burst. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The glory of God. The outpouring of the Spirit without measure. It is time. The world is waiting for us. Arise and shine. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee, so that the nations will come to the brightness of our rising. Stand to your feet. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Lord, pour out your spirit. Lord, pour out
your spirit on the peoples of the earth.
Wait a minute. Mommy has something to share that we're going to take that song.
This word is nothing short of a direct message from the throne room. This is the hour. This is the time. This is the season.
Yes.
That the patriarchs of old almost fell off the rings, wanting to see and be a part of. You know, wow, wanting, but it is for us that the end of the world has come, that the Lord has saved this. It's such a privilege. And that's why every morning, the Bible says, when you stand praying,
forgive.
And I keep saying these are no rhetorics. Sometimes when you hear things, sometimes you don't do anything about it.
Yeah.
These are no rhetorics. These are profound biblical principles, not based on emotions. When you stand praying, forgive. And I gave an instruction to lead intercessors that 3 times a week, the right upon unity, I think we need to send it again around to the body, that they must be looking at it,
yes,
meditating it, and becoming it. Because you want to hear something? The glory is here. While shepherds were watching the flock by night, the angels of the Lord appeared unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone upon them, and they said unto them, behold, bring you great tidings. Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem. But he was only a baby. So what we're waiting for is the manifestation of the glory. But the glory And this is the truth that all by the grace of mercy of God, prophets and prophetesses that are in line with what God is saying are saying is here. And what we need is a return with the heart into Ecclesia is rising. There's a return. Prayer cry in the United States of America. Everybody crying. 2 Chronicles 7:14, with a heart of penitence, repentance, to turn back to God. Dearly beloved, there is no game in this. Unity is the key to everything. Unity of the Spirit. Endeavor. And I believe that the Lord God Himself will help us. And that glory that we desire to see, the manifestation of it. See, it took 30 years. And I was saying to someone, I said, you might not take 30 years this time. You know why? Because God is hastening for the elect's sake. He said, if he will have to hasten it. He said, if not the very elect themselves could have been deceived. So it may not be up to 30 years. Jesus manifested at 30. He's here. The manifestation. And the whole earth is groaning and waiting for the manifested sons of God, you and I. Glory be to God.
Lord, pour out your spirit.
Lord, pour out your spirit.
the peoples of the earth.
Let
your sons and daughters speak your words of prophecy.
Send us
our dreams and visions. The secrets of your heart, Lord, our faith is rising. Let all heaven sound the coming of your day.
There is
a great awakening,
and now there is
a great revival.
Of the urgency of this moment. Jesus prayed a prayer, or he made a lamentation over Jerusalem. He said, "Ah, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to keep you under the shadow of my wings." He said, "But you would not. for you did not know the day of your visitation.
May we not miss this day. It's here. Raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins, especially the sin of unbelief. Where I have not believed your prophets, where I have not believed your word, that your glory can be manifest in us now, in this day, in this time. Father, where I have not believed that the works Jesus did, we will do and greater. Lord, help thou my unbelief. Forgive my unbelief. I receive the blood of Jesus to remit my sin of unbelief. I receive life and power in sufficient measure as we pray now. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon. Oh God, open my eyes. Flood the eyes of my understanding with light. Awaken me out of spiritual slumber. Help me to understand, appreciate the urgency of the hour. Help me to fast. Help me to pray in the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. Help me to be steadfast, to let not my hand be slack in battle, to birth your glory, the outpouring of the power of the latter and former reign together, the Spirit without measure, into the earth, upon us here, now, in this hour. O God, have mercy on me. Account me worthy of this high calling that you have called us to. In this time of fasting and praying, in this season and day of the of atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles. Oh God, let not this hour pass us by. Help us to press in and bring your glory into manifestation and be a partaker thereof. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, mercy, Lord. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you. Oh, Shiliki, runs to Fredesk, Ramata. Father, mercy. Labrikatolomos to Frenes. Tolamanga Clamatoloma to Fres. Tolamanga Clamatoloma to Fredek Clamato Fres. Tolamatu Fredich Cofre, Ricatolomaga, Lambrakamatolomas. Neo, Shoko Fresk, Tolamatu Frenink, Sofrenesk. In Jesus' name. We're going to close the service. So we'll be here tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Everybody fasted up. Going to fast tomorrow. Going to fast Tuesday. We're going to fast on Wednesday. Tomorrow we're going to pray for Israel and America, as our custom is. And then we're going to pray for Nigeria and this outpouring of the Spirit without measure on Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, we're going to pray again for America, particularly the elections that are coming. So we're going to have two phases for America, and then we're going to have a prayer for our personal request. Then on Thursday morning, so we continue to fast. So when you go home on Wednesday, you don't eat. Only Pastor Larry. Except you're on medication or some special thing, you know. You know, if you need to take something like, you know, Ogi or something, you can. But, you know, as much as possible, just water and fluids, you know. And then we'll be here on Thursday at 11 o'clock to pray for Nigeria. Nigeria is at a very critical point, but the glory of God will solve the Nigerian problem. The God poured out the Spirit, all the things we consider to be problems, they will be settled overnight. Remember, some people will go to sleep and then they won't wake up. It's in Job chapter 34 too. He says, in a night, without human hand. I remember Abacha.
was overnight. The whole political complexion of Nigeria changed overnight. It's going to happen again. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gates of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the knowledge of Enoch, of Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to them and say, you watch and pray always, so no bones are broken and no plague comes near your dwelling. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Believe these words have empowered you to live a victorious, transcendent life in Christ. Our mission is to equip God's people for service and build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources, including books, sermons, prophecies, and articles available on our website, spcconline.org. Thank you, and God bless you.